Honestly, I don't really know if I should be asking you guys this, but I really need to know. You don't think that, like, someone's going to come after me and kill me?
That was a lot, and I did feel a little bit threatened.
It was heartbreaking.
But that's not the full story. I mean, you guys need to tell us what happened. Because Delaney, when she found out, she was hysterical.
Honestly, up until that point, I never had associated or met, you know, anybody that was gay.
I really don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's pass.
Do you think YouTube changed me?
I didn't know what I was getting into here. I'm not sure if we want to go into that now.
This is not what I signed up for.
Let's get into it.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Into It podcast. Today, we are going to be exposing myself because I have my parents coming on to my show. I want to welcome my mom, Peggy, and my dad, Brady. Welcome.
How you doing?
They're like, what am I doing here? Like, what is this?
Super excited.
Super excited. So you guys know we talk about a lot of things on my channel, but we don't really talk about myself. So you guys have been asking, and today I'm going to interview my parents and just kind of like talk about them and like who I am and like where did I come from? So let's go ahead and start off with where you guys grew up.
Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia, both of you?
Both of us, yeah.
And you still live there, kind so you have
boring,
not...
Yeah, kind of a boring life, but...
You never wandered far.
Not too far.
We went to high school together, and we started dating right out of high school in 1985.
Yeah.
And we got married in 93, and...
Okay, so that was like a really fast-forward version of it all. But so let's go ahead and just start like kind of individually. So I want to start with like just where your parents... So like... Your mom is Bonnie, your dad is Buford, who, rest in peace, I have all my grandparents in my life, but my grandfather was the first to pass in September?
September 22nd.
On my sister's birthday, right?
Yes,
which is like kind of a, and she's getting married on his birthday, so it's kind of a cute connection.
It's a connection.
Yeah. Yes. Nothing cute about it.
An unfortunate connection, but yeah.
Yeah, and then are they both from Virginia as well?
No, my mom's from Chicago, and my dad was from North Carolina.
Okay, and then you also don't know any... Because everyone's always like, what is it on the internet? They see you and they see dad and then they see me and then they're like, what are you? Your ethnicity. So then you don't know what your parents are, right?
German. Swedish.
Yeah, that's about it. Okay, dad. So you, grandma is Pam.
Yep.
And then Pappy. What is Pappy's name?
Bo.
Yeah. So they're both still around too. They're hanging out, chilling. So do you know where they grew up?
Grandma's in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Yeah. Just kind of the middle of Pennsylvania.
Not like Philadelphia.
No. It was Meadville or Sligo, I think. Sligo was the actual biggest town next to them.
I think that the reason I even ever saw Amish people in my life was because of whatever connection we had to Pennsylvania. Because I never, like, why would I see Amish people? Like, they're not chilling in Northern Virginia. But I remember growing up, whenever we visited Graham.
Well, you remember Graham took us to a Thanksgiving dinner at an Amish company one time.
We had dinner in their home.
Yeah.
An Amish family.
It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So I would have never had any Amish experience if it wasn't for the Pennsylvania
connection.
Yeah. Do you know what your parents are? Like where they're from? Like, are your...
I mean, mostly, yeah. What I know is German and Dutch. Yeah. You know, my Graham's last name was Hollebaugh, so very Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much that, I think. I haven't had the test done.
I know. I just need to do that. Like, why don't I just go ahead and do that? That would answer all the questions. Right. But so then, Mom, we can confirm you are not Latina.
I am not.
People like speak Spanish to my mom, thinking that she's like Latina. And she's like, nope, not this time.
Not Latina.
No, not that we know of. I mean, we need to do the test.
That's right.
We tried to do the test with my sister, but then it came back and updated the results and like changed. So you mentioned that you guys went to high school together, but you weren't like friends, right?
Not in high school. No, we knew of each other, but no.
Why?
We were on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Why? So mom sounds classist when she says that. Like, oh, you know, I was not hanging out with him. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
When we grew up, they had smoking courts in school. So this is just an example. Your father would be in the smoking court and I would not.
Yeah.
I was in the freak kind of division.
You know, wore moccasins and had long hair and I was not in the same crowd.
So wait, was that like the hippie? Was that 70s or 80s?
That was 80s. The
80s. 80s. Yeah. Wait, what happened in 85? You got married? You graduated?
No, we graduated high school.
High school, okay.
Yeah,
because I feel like that sounds like 70s. Moccasins, mm-hmm. right? Like hippie dippy?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't too much in moccasins.
He was bringing them back, making them cool again.
I may have had one pair at one time in my life, honey. Let's not overdo it too much.
I just remember seeing you in moccasins.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to shed.
Ingrained into your memory.
Very difficult
to lose that. That was her first ick. That was her first ick with you. Yeah. And won't forget that.
First of many.
So then, but you didn't, so you're not high school sweethearts technically, right? Because you didn't like date in high school.
No, right after high school. So we graduated in June of 85 and we started running around together in July of 85.
Oh, okay. So like right after high school.
Right after high school. After.
And you guys, neither of you went to college. I know you did a little like community college for a bit. It wasn't for you. So then what were your plans right after high school?
I ended up getting a job. I had a couple of jobs, but like 21, I ended up getting a job with ExxonMobil. And
like doing what? Like corporate work?
Yeah.
Well, it was just mobile back in the day.
It was just mobile. Now it's ExxonMobil.
What is that thing that that trend on TikTok where people are saying like calling their parents and saying, I just got a job to be a drill, like underwater.
Right.
Yeah. So you weren't that.
I wasn't that. I worked in like information systems, but I worked there when your dad and I got married and then until I had you. And then he wanted me to stay home. And so I was a stay-at-home mom after that.
Yeah. So then what were you doing, big baller, that she could stay at home?
Big baller. You know, as a plumber, we just make hand over fist money. So now it was very tight to have her stay at home, but it was very important to me. You know, it was very important to us that that
we raised
you had
our kids.
Had a full-time parent there all the time.
So. Yeah.
And then luckily it worked out nice.
So my dad actually runs a successful like plumbing company. You guys do a lot of like variety work. I remember growing up and like I went to Foxcroft, which was at like boarding school at one point.
Yep,
but you have they have like, you know, a lot of work and different types
profile.
Of work. And that's something that you got into because of your father, my grandfather.
Yeah, we do mostly custom type plumbing work, if you can say, custom. So, yeah, it's been pretty neat. We had some really, really neat clients.
So then you just kind of went into that right after high school because your dad had the company and it was just easy,
well,
like, work easy to get into it.
He actually asked me to come to work for him. I was working for a carpenter, actually, when I first got out of high school. And then worked for them for quite a few months. And then Pappy came to me and said, hey, you know, we're really busy. And, you know, do you want to come to work? And I said, wow, yeah, sure, absolutely. And then, you know, just to kind of... Funny story is I was making $5 an hour and I just made the carpenter just raised me to $5.50 an hour. So I was, you know, they were really happy with me. So anyway, I start working for Pappy now and he dropped me. I got my first paycheck and I went back down to $5 an hour.
So
going to work for him wasn't necessarily a monetarily smart.
He was like, we'll match your pay a year ago.
That's kind of how it worked out.
So then was that ever, I mean, it's kind of been like a family business in some sense. We've had some family members work for us and then not. And that, I mean, did you enjoy that experience working with your dad? Was it kind of odd?
It was always kind of stressful. You know, I didn't necessarily work with him in the field a whole lot at that time. You know, when I was younger, my teen years, like during the summers and things, I'd work for him. And I'd work closer side by side. But by the time I came to work for him, it was he was out of the field for the most part. So, you know. But yeah, it's always kind of weird. I mean, imagine if you worked for me.
I mean, I did for a little bit.
Well,
you did. And now look at me. I was like, let me go and do something else.
Yeah, but you were a good plumber. You picked up stuff.
I was good at hiding somewhere in the corner.
No, he liked to go into the clients' homes, the beautiful homes, and sit and talk with them.
And
then they would call me and be like, I met your son today. He's amazing.
Try and make some connections.
Right.
Like, how could you help me? So before we get into a little bit about me and, you know, early life as Sloan, just I think a lot of people like to hear about someone's first date. So how did you, what was your first?
Oh, my God.
Was it a date?
No.
I'll leave it alone. You go ahead and tell it on.
Well, you guys just met out?
We were out at a bar.
Yeah.
Yep. And we started.
Love at first sight? Something at first sight.
Something at first sight. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, so when you guys got married at what, 25? Because you had me at 26, right?
No. We got engaged at 25, married at 26, and we had you at 27. I was 8 months pregnant on my first anniversary.
Okay, and did you, you always knew you wanted kids, right?
We knew we wanted to have kids, and so we decided that we wanted to not wait.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad decided that he didn't want to wait, and I didn't want to wait either. I knew I was... That was my calling in life, was to be a mom.
Yeah.
And so we were very fortunate enough to be able to conceive you very quickly.
So I'm named after my father. How did we come up with Sloan? Do you know?
We were out with friends at a bowling alley, and we met this girl. She was pregnant. I don't really know who she is, but her name was Sloan.
With an E?
She was...
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like the female.
She was friends with our other friends, and we loved the name so much that we used it. I actually... wanted to name you something different.
Do you know what?
I wanted to name you Michael Stephen after your uncle, your dad's brother.
Well, then my brother got that name, so.
Yeah, so your dad wasn't ready to use that name, so we picked Sloan, and I love that name. I still love that name to this day.
It works out until I hear someone say, like, slow, and then I'm like, wait, what, me? Or they're like, I just peed on your name in the bathroom.
Yeah, right. That was
right.
That.
Yeah.
Had a little something to do with it.
I'm like, at least it's usually waterless. It's like, you know, eco-friendly in some way. There so at least there's some good parts to it. So, you know, I have two other siblings, but I'm the oldest. So how would you explain my like behavior or demeanor as like a child? Like, was I easygoing?
Definitely not easygoing. No, you were... I really feel like you always had a very strong personality, and you definitely exhibited that from a very young age, because you're absolutely beautiful. You're born with a full head of hair, and you were a beautiful child, and people were drawn to you because you were so attractive, and they would approach you and you would scowl at them, like literally growl.
Hiss at them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, get away from me.
I just didn't want anyone touching me?
You didn't want anybody near you.
Yeah?
Yes.
I kind of feel the same way. Like that guy at the gym this morning, I was just like, oh God, leave me alone. Like, God. I'm like, you guys think I'm so outgoing whenever I'm here with my camera, and I am outgoing, but I also feel like I do.
I mean, once you get to know somebody, you're certainly different. But this was like out at a restaurant when somebody tries to, you know.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. And you're like,
just like, what?
Stay away.
Like, I had to claw them.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
But you were always very leery of people and very concerned about your brother and sister. Like, we couldn't get on an elevator without it being a whole ordeal. You blocking the door, making sure everybody's in safe.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I was so scared of elevators as a kid. I remember going to Ocean City, right?
Yep. Yes. Exactly.
You were so scared of losing track of your brother or sister. Like, they would be left outside the door that you just couldn't handle.
Why was I so worried about that?
I don't know.
Like, was it just me being, like, I guess, like a possessive kid over them? Just, like, trying to make, like,
watching their every move? Always watching their every move.
Always concerned, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds stressful. Stressing me out. Like, I probably, though, whenever I have kids one day, I'm probably going to be like that just too.
By
just
the
like
time we had micromanaging. Three, and you pretty much just took care of it. We weren't necessarily too worried.
We didn't have to worry about anything.
We were in the elevator hitting the down button.
Yeah. I would have everything covered, like shuffling them through.
We didn't have a whole lot to do.
So then I guess, obviously, as a brother, I was super protective initially. So then growing up, like elementary school, middle school. I remember I started getting into like making videos. I mean, I was pretty young. Do you remember that little green camcorder I had when I first got like?
I still have it.
Yeah, like it's an old camera from. I remember I'd like try to set it up to like film the Easter Bunny or something.
You,
to
see you if did it was get real. Me do, making yeah, Easter baskets.
I did do it.
Absolutely.
So that was you know, I was, I guess, creative in that way. I don't think I don't consider myself a very creative person, especially when you meet like these actors, theater people, artists, like people who can actually paint. You know, like I'm.
Oh, you were very creative.
But I guess. But then what did you, I mean, you saw me making videos in like, you know, the seventh grade, filming Delaney, doing these random things. What did you think of it back then? I mean, did you just think it was like a normal kid thing to do for?
Mm-hmm. No, I thought, I definitely thought you were destined for something creative in your life. I mean, you took an initiative and wanted to be in plays, so you auditioned for musicals that were through one of the larger high schools around us, and I mean, closed auditions. You went in there and just killed it. You got everything you ever wanted to do. I mean, you just and I was mortified because I couldn't go in with you, and I'm like, what's going on? You were like 10 years old. We had to get you a cell phone because you had to go to auditions or to rehearsals. And
yeah, I was the only one in fifth grade that had a phone because I would go to these. The acting days would be like a Saturday and be full all day. I remember also being 10 years old and like having to go and buy lunch for myself at the burger place. And just, it was such a weird thing, you know, but the older kids are like some, it was like a program where it was like a bunch of different ages, but there's like people who are 18 or so in it. So they would take care of me and make sure I was like, you know, safe. Walking to the place, you know, safely. Cause I would not have to go outside and the city and do that.
You also started swimming when you were 6 years old. So you swam for a good.
I was like 18, really.
Yeah, I mean, a very long time. You did competitive swimming, you and your sister, and we're very good.
And that was because of you, right? You grew up doing competitive swimming.
I swam, yes. But, you know, it was, I felt like it was a great sport for y'all, and it definitely taught you discipline.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helped also with fitness, too. It just gave you a good base fit. Like, when I was in, you know, high school, I had, like, abs just because we were doing so much dry land and swimming, definitely. Club swim, high school swim, county swim. Luckily, I have been thankful that my family has been super accepting with my sexuality, especially with, you know, how it was 10, 15 years ago. It was not easy, and I came out pretty young. So I think that it's important to acknowledge that because there are families out there who, you know, accept you and will want to embrace that side of you. I mean, my family, we've gone to drag brunch already. I mean, they're out in West Hollywood. We saw Erica Jane last night. My mom got a picture of Tom Sandoval. Like, you know, they're here for the queer or whatever. And I think that really goes back to some of the past that my parents have experienced with like my uncle and things like that. And my dad had a, you know, exposure to a gay man early on in his life. Can you talk a little bit about like Uncle Steven?
Absolutely.
And, like, do you think that did kind of prepare you to accept me easier?
It absolutely. It changed our life. I mean, I grew up in a very small town.
So he's your older brother, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And grew up in a very small town, almost like nothing around us but kind of farms and things. And,
Is that Fairfax, Virginia?
That was Centerville. Well, Fairfax, but then
it's Fairfax County.
But back then, it was not built up.
Centerville was really, really small. And that's when he came out, you know, whenever we realized it and Graham told us and things.
So Graham told you?
And I believe that's probably how it played out. Yeah. I mean, I think we always had maybe a little bit of a different idea that, you know, because he was a fun guy. I mean, just such a sweetheart of a person. Always thought about somebody else. I mean, it reminds me so much of you because you always put a lot of people in front of you and things. And he was the same way. And
what time, like, just not to interrupt you, but when he came out, what time period was this? Because I feel like he came out too is such a crucial.
I was probably
time.
I was
in probably, the 80s.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I was 13. When I realized.
Yeah, that was in the late 70s.
Do you remember when you heard about it? Because I feel like I remember, I don't know if this story's true because obviously I've heard this years ago. Mm-hmm. But like my understanding was that when you heard that Uncle Steven was gay, it was so like overwhelming to you. Like just except that you like, ran and you were crying and like in the.
It was definitely.
Do you remember that moment you found out? Like your reaction? Like you felt like.
I do because I was, you know, I was just, I don't know. I kind of felt sad a little bit just because, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why it affected me. I honestly, up until that point, I never had associated or met, you know, anybody that was gay. Not, it just wasn't anybody around. I probably did. They just weren't out. But Steve was just such a great personality. So it really, you know, there might have been that initial kind of shock, if you want to say that, but it really changed shortly after that because he included me in his life, mm-hmm. you know, and it, he actually took me to my first gay bar and stuff like that, you know, when I was underage, you know, but he opened my eyes to realize, hey, man, this isn't, these people aren't weird. They're not the devil, you know what I mean? This isn't, you know, I grew up in a fairly Christian
home. Graham
has
always
been
super, like, into the faith.
So and it was, and I did a year at Christian school and things, so it, you know, they definitely kind of beat that up a little bit and made you
especially back
think
then.
A certain way, right? They wanted you to think a certain way, but actually after Steve came out and we started to enjoy ourselves out, you know, it was just always a inspiration and yeah, I think it totally helped me with you know, if I needed help, whenever you came out, it was just a, you know,
exposure.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I never met my Uncle Steve. He passed away from HIV.
91. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one do you use? If he passed away from it, was it AIDS? Okay. AIDS, so he passed away of AIDS, which I think is important to highlight because, you know, luckily we have PrEP nowadays and, you know, the community has become very aware. I know back then it was such a struggle to sick. I mean, you guys, I remember towards the end of his life, you guys took care of him. Mom would go and get his haircuts for him. And
I'd take
you would
him shopping.
And I remember mom, you told me like you would even lie about like what he's going through because people are so
ask.
Judgmental, right?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, they would look at him like, oh, what's he got? And I would never, you know, I didn't feel it was anybody's right to know. Mm-hmm. And he was certainly safe and not putting anybody in jeopardy. So it, you know. Nobody needed to know that.
Yeah. And so he was living in Germany with his partner until he fell ill enough to where he had to come here. And that was for, do you know why his partner didn't take care of him?
The healthcare was better here.
Oh, so he came here for better treatment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. So then did he live with like Graham or did he live with like,
with
and
Graham.
Then you guys would go and help Graham with taking care
of
him?
Well, I lived there at that time. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah. And it was,
dating, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very difficult because I, you know, your uncle was 230 pounds and just built. I mean, you know, he was very proud of his physique and he worked very hard on it. And just to kind of see how this horrible disease takes over you, he was 125 pounds laying in bed and we literally changed him and, you know, and had to make sure we, you know, moved him around so he didn't get bed sores. It was heartbreaking. I mean, it was just a very difficult time, but he still always wanted to go out and see the cherry blossoms. And
we took him to see the cherry blossoms. Yeah.
So, but very difficult time that time.
Yeah. And that's why now my brother has the middle name Steve to honor Uncle Steve. And
his first name is Steven.
Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of you boys go by your
Steven
middle name.
Steven Jared. Okay. Yeah. And I'm Michael Sloan after dad. So then obviously like with that kind of experience, it made it easier for when I came out, even despite coming out at like 15, which is pretty young.
But you were 14.
14. Or no, I was 14. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I knew for many, 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 many years, but I wanted you to come to me with it. And I didn't want to go to you with it, but I had went to your dad for many, many years prior to that and said, yeah, I think he's gay. Your dad's like,
Let's play
it out.
Saying,
I think he's gay.
Let's play it
out. Spread, you know? But yeah, so a lot of people were asking about my coming out story, so I thought I might as well share it. Essentially, I came out to my grandmother, Graham, who had Steven and my father. So then I felt like she was kind of, I mean, I was close to her then and she also like had experience with that. So that's who I told. And then she told my parents. So I didn't directly come to you and say, I'm gay. You asked me about it. Because Graham emailed you.
That's not how I remember anything.
We were in
at
the
all.
Car driving to swim team, and I was sitting in the back, and I remember you told me Graham emailed me and told me what you guys talked about.
No, that's not.
That's
how it
my
happened.
Memory. So what's your memory of me coming out?
So we were driving to swim, and your sister was like, "Tell her, Sloan, tell her," because you had told Delaney, and you said, "I'm gay," and I said, "I know." Your grandmother never emailed me or told me anything. And your grandmother and I would discuss it throughout the years because she, just like I did, suspected that maybe you were gay. And that was okay. And we would talk about it because she had experience with it. But she never came to me
and told
me.
I just have a completely different memory. Like, I remember you guys knew before Delaney. Because Delaney, when she found out, she was hysterical. She was like, I don't want my children again. Like, so there was something, there was no me hiding that. Like, Delaney couldn't hide that from you guys. So you guys knew before her because she like was hysterical.
I mean, I always knew, and I don't. You guys never shared. Well, now you always knew, but I'm just
telling you, like, yeah. I mean, she was like, I can't have I don't want children to have a gay uncle, or and those things. I mean, and you know, of course, she's like 11 years old. Like, right. She was a kid. I'm not writing it off, but I'm just saying it's so interesting that you have a whole other story because mine. What I remember being in the basement talking to Graham about it. Literally the next day is when that happened, mm-hmm. when we had the swim team thing. And then when that night is when I talked to Delaney about it, and that's when she got hysterical.
I don't recall any of that.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe I need to just dive deeper in therapy and figure out when that happened, because that's my memory of it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Do you remember it?
No. Oh, I remember you actually coming to me, and I was in the family room, and I was sitting in my chair, uh-huh. and you came down, and I had already, you know, assumed and things like that. But the evening that you came to me, and you came out and you just said, "Hey Dad, I'm gay." Uh-huh. And it was definitely emotional just because I felt a closer connection with you, you know, for you to be mm-hmm. confident enough to come out and talk to us about it. I thought that was, really great. It was, it's definitely a tearjerker moment, but I don't know that it was sadness. You know, I think it was maybe more, hey man, you're finally finding yourself and you'll be able to maybe be stronger for yourself. Cause I know it's difficult for some gay,
it's people difficult to every gay person.
Yeah. I mean, it's very difficult. And I saw that difficulty with Steve, you know, I saw that difficulty with people not wanting him to come into a restaurant and things. And I so didn't want that for you. And I'm so thankful that time has kind of corrected itself and made things definitely
easier.
Definitely easier. But it was very emotional when you came to me, and I believe that was kind of the internal feeling that I had was, mm-hmm. gosh, man, I'm glad.
Yeah, those feelings of, I mean, also with Steve too, that makes sense because it's like you watched him go through all that. It's like, oh, I wouldn't want that.
It was so scary whenever you saw people so standoffish, and you know, it was just it was a bummer, man. Yeah. It really sucked. Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad he couldn't see the gayest city in the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He would have loved it.
Yeah.
He would have fit right in.
Absolutely. I mean, he's looking down on you right now.
I know. Imagine if he was around and he could, like, I was, like, friends with the gay. Because I don't have any other gay family members, I don't think.
Oh, you'd probably be next to their neighbors or something, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and finish by talking a little bit about my career on YouTube. Obviously, that's changed my life a lot. And you know, when it changes my life, it also affects my family in some ways too. So I just want to talk a little bit about like, what were your initial, I mean, like we discussed earlier, I made videos growing up, so it wasn't new for me to go and post a video online, but it was new when I started getting some traction. So when that started to pick up, do you remember kind of what you thought about it, or was it just like, you know, used to it because you saw me posting?
I mean, I think we were always definitely supportive of it. However, it was important to us that you got a college education.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when you came out of college and you went to work for corporate for a couple of years, I was very scared of you leaving that just because of the unknown in what you wanted to do. But I think your dad and I were always supportive and knew that you would be successful. I mean, when he made that video at the pool, by the pool with Annie.
When you were exercising our dog.
I sent that to Ellen. I mean, because I loved it so much. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen in my life. You made some really...
Many goofy videos growing up, too. Yeah. I just didn't know what I was doing, you know?
Yeah, but Annie was a big focal part for a while. You had her dancing and things.
I would have her in my videos. I'd pull my desk chair up next to me, sit by the window, and have her sitting just on the desk chair, just facing the camera. Yeah, I have some videos out there that you guys can find her in there. So when I started to get more and more views, and, you know, I mean, even myself, I didn't ever think I'd be doing YouTube full-time. I didn't think that there was really... you know, even the bandwidth to support you financially in YouTube. Like, I felt great in my corporate job. It was, you know, secure. This was like a fun little hobby. So then when I started to become more successful at it and like actually take it, you know, full time, did you have like reservations about me leaving that job? I mean, at that point I left a 6-year long relationship. I was leaving my career and I was just going to move into Airbnbs in Florida. So,
and that's what you did.
I mean, do you remember those like kind of having like, just being nervous about it, or
I think once you decided to leave, I don't remember feeling nervous about it. I was nervous prior to you making that decision, but once you made the decision, I've never had any fears about what you're doing. You know, as far as from a success standpoint, I always thought you'd be successful, and your dad and I have been just incredibly proud of what you've done.
Absolutely. I was a little bit nervous. You know, I wanted you to kind of ride that job out because it was a great job
yeah.
coming out of college. I mean, at that year, you know, people were coming out of college and their kids had nothing to go to. You mm-hmm. know, they
couldn't get jobs.
But you got a nice job and then you started focusing on your YouTube stuff. And that, it was exciting. You know, it was mm-hmm. nice. And you were pretty open with us, you know, as far as like, you know, how you were being paid and that you were able to make a living at it. And, but once you got to your certain level, I knew you were smart enough to make your decisions, and you're smart enough to know not to gamble too much on being successful and being able to take care of yourself.
Yeah, social media doesn't last forever. So a lot of people, when they're in this industry, they need to be smart with their money, just because you never know, your channel could be deleted. You can be canceled.
Canceled.
No one wants to get canceled. You know,
it's crazy.
We're not getting canceled over here. Do you think some people criticize, you know, those who jump into this career and who have this kind of success and be like, YouTube changed you? Do you think YouTube changed me?
Not to me. I don't feel like it changed you.
I feel honestly like you're the same person. I don't see a difference. I see you being more generous because you're able to. You're certainly able to be more generous. But that's great. I mean, it's. But you've always been very smart with, you know, what you want to do and what you want to do next and things like that. I mean, you're focused and it shows, and I'm very proud of that.
Do you watch my content?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. Like what? Like you just will put it on when you're like sitting down or like what?
Yeah.
Put it on the background, or what do you do?
Well, Instagram's daily. I mean, I watch your Instagram stories daily. That's how I know, you know, kind of keep up with you and things. When after work, you know, I get home, get a little time, we just pop you on and see what's
up. Dad would be like reading the comments. Like, is it weird?
He loves to read the comments.
I love the comments. Yeah.
I mean, never read my comments.
No, everybody's so supportive of you. It's so great. It's cool. That's my favorite part of it. I do enjoy the stories and things. You bring up some great subjects and cover them very well, but to be able to see how many people that you touch and you know, have a decent relationship with. They're very supportive. I love your fan base.
Fan base. See, it's so weird to me because I still don't have it fully, like, I haven't fully accepted that I get hundreds of thousands of views and I've got thousands of people who are watching my videos and those type of things. And it still doesn't, like, even make sense to me. Do you think it's weird seeing people comment or talk about your son in some ways? I mean, we've had some hard moments too with YouTube with Nick Carter, Mike the Situation. I mean, Bob Saget was coming out for me for a while, but he wasn't coming after you, but he was coming after me.
We've had people come after us too.
Especially because my dad has the same name as me. So when you guys go and hire your private investigators and you think you're harassing me, you're actually harassing him.
I get some crazy text messages at like 3 a.m. and things. Yeah. And it's like, hey, we're going to expose this and expose that. And I kind of get I don't know how to say it.
A rise out of it?
Well, not a rise, but I get defensive.
You fight back.
Yes.
I get defensive. You know, and I have no problem sending a picture of myself out and saying, you know what, this is what I look like, and you can come after me.
Yeah.
But it's definitely concerning. You know, it's something that we're worried about you. You're out here. You're so far away from us. But yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Also kind of cool though that these people know who I am. I'm like, feel like I'm just sitting in my room. Like, Angelina from, her name's Angelina, right? From Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Messaging me last night at midnight saying, hey, I have a question for you. Like, girl, Angelina, what do you need from me? Like, why are these people, how did you find me? I wasn't talking about you anywhere. Can you tell a little bit about that pizza story? Like,
oh my gosh. So your dad, we go to bed very early and we have lots of dogs and one night we were in bed and somebody started knocking on our door. A ring's going off. And it was a pizza delivery truck. No, there wasn't only one. There was like four different that showed up at the same time. And we had no idea that this was a thing. Apparently you were shooting a live video.
I was live streaming because back then I would live stream. I don't do that nowadays. And this is kind of common for people who live stream because they think they're going to the home.
And we had no idea. And so we had all these people coming up to our door. And your father is... I mean, he's an armed man, and he's not afraid to use it. Truly, it was scary. I mean, it was scary to have all these people like around in our front yard and just randomly there.
And well, we were swatted, but by pizza people. Yeah. Right. It wasn't the FBI coming in or anything, right. But it was pizza people.
So these people called nuts. three different pizza places.
Oh, at least.
Right? And then they had like them all come looking for cash, right? Because they did like a cash order, which why did they even allow that nowadays? Like you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like who does that? It's like just setting yourself up for failure.
Well, got the door cracked and got a gun. It's like, who are you? You need to step back.
So because you've seen, and also it's nice that you guys are talking about this too, because sometimes people think I make this stuff up. I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
My dad did receive an edited nude picture of me. Like, it did happen. Like,
that was crazy.
And your sister has.
And my sister has, yeah. So do you, because I talk about various topics online and different celebrities, I feel like you guys, because we've gone through all this together, you don't really worry about my safety when it comes to, like, these celebrities. Like, you don't think that, like, you know, someone's going to come after me and kill me?
I mean, with the Nick Carter thing, and
that was a lot.
That was a lot, and I did feel a little bit threatened personally.
Remember that one random girl like knocked on your door too one day or something? It was a guy or girl.
Yeah, I mean, some strange things happen, and you do have that element of fear for a second.
Yeah,
and then you realize, you know, they're just, it's idle threats. I do believe.
Yeah.
You kind of get over that and realize where it's coming from and what they're actually going to do, which is nothing.
Well, we talk about things that people don't want out there all the time. So it pushes, you know, it pushes their emotions. And sometimes, like, you know, they want to handle it the legal way. They don't actually want to, because do we really want to uncover what we're talking about here? Because I'm not spreading lies. I'm not putting anything fake out there. I'm not purposely. And if I were to, then they can come on, you know, my show.
Right.
And correct the record. I'll remove the video for that. So to give a little bit more information about our other family members. So let's just talk about my siblings as well. So I don't think Delaney or Jared ever appeared on my channel or anything. So Delaney is 25 or 26?
25.
So she's my younger sister. She's engaged. I'm actually going to be marrying her this year, officiating the wedding.
That's going to be awesome.
Which, like, of course, like the star of the family here, like I can give a performance. So let's go ahead and do it. So Delaney, what does she do for work?
She is a high school special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm. And does she focus on, like, math specifically?
She is a math teacher, yes.
Which is, like, kind of interesting, because I thought, like, you know, there's that stigma that, like, girls don't do math. And Delaney's over here, like, teaching math now.
She's got her master's.
So
fantastic. She's got her master's in special ed.
Yeah.
So she can really teach anything. But where she fell into the school system, she is a special ed math teacher.
Uh-huh. And I feel like my sister has one of those, like, she has that, like, life that everyone's, like, you know, expects to happen, like, anticipate, you know, she's like, now gotten engaged at like 25, like looking to buy a house, going to get married, probably going to have kids like around the same age as you guys. Like,
it's been pretty kind of perfect.
It's been kind of storybook. Like,
storybook. I mean, yeah.
It's even with Robert. So my future brother-in-law, like, he's a year younger than me, but we all grew up in the same neighborhood, like streets away. So Robert was always around in our lives. And, you know, Delaney and him obviously didn't date or have anything until like later in life.
Right. Because there was enough age difference. Like when
she's been weird,
a sophomore and he's a senior, you know, that's too much of an age difference, but he would come over and hang out with you and all your buddies in the neighborhood. And so he was from very young. He was at our home and part of our, you know, we knew him and his family. They just happened to start dating a few years ago, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it is.
Almost history.
Yeah, almost history. A
couple more months.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, just because my life feels like so chaotic in comparison. I'm just like moving around, and just like even what I do for a career, Delaney, like, she's your stable child. Yeah, she's the one that's like going to be around.
Yeah.
Going to have the kids like right away. And all those things. And then my younger brother, he's 22.
He's going to be 23.
In a couple days.
This next Saturday.
Yeah.
He's always around Easter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's kind of doing his own thing. He's been like, he's worked with my dad and, you know.
Yeah, he'll work with us again, I'm sure.
He's just figuring himself out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's also like a kid. So, you know, those things happen. Are you excited for Delaney to have kids? I know you want to be a grandma so bad. Like my
mom. Dad wants to be a grandpa too. Don't be fooled. We are both so excited for grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like a grandpa to Bunny, you know.
Yeah, we have our grand dog with us now.
A grand dog, so.
A lot of people have asked, like, where's Bunny gone? Because Bunny would be in podcast, she'd be on the main channel. But with just so many things changing my life, me moving into a new place and things and traveling, I mean, sometimes getting a dog sitter, it costs more than just the trip I was going to take. So just for right now, my parents have 5 other dogs, so Bunny is ruling the castle, living her best life. I would actually feel kind of guilty bringing her back here, because what if I have to go to a work event or do something, and then my dog is there for 6 hours alone? Like, I don't want that for her.
She's never alone.
It's the best thing for her for now. So that's why people are like, did you give up Bunny? Like, no, she's not in a pound. She grew up, And she wanted to move out.
Yeah.
Now she's out
here.
She
moved in with her grandparents.
Paying rent.
That's all.
Just kidding. At least I'm paying for the haircuts.
Yeah.
At least that part. So just like with where I'm at in my life, I mean, obviously with the career I had and then this career and everything, like, what do you think is going to, I'm, you know, approaching 30 later this year. What do you think is going to happen for me? What do you see happening?
You know, I'm shocked you're not on television yet. I really thought, I mean, I really thought you, before YouTube and things, I thought you could model, you know, for sure. I always thought you had a good modeling look and things like that. And a lot of our friends did too.
Oh,
you know, they would always mention.
Why isn't
but,
he modeling?
But now, you know, since YouTube has started and kind of blown up a little bit and things are going great, I'm kind of shocked that, like, you know, Access Hollywood or something hasn't hit you up. I kind of, you know, and I think that might still be in the future. I really do. But whatever you do, you're going to be successful at it. You're just, and as long as you're happy at it, then that's all that matters.
Yeah. And you're very driven. I mean, you want it and you go for it. And I don't think there's much you can't accomplish.
I do want to have like the Sloan Show one day, which, you know, it's a weird time in entertainment because it's almost like I have more power now with what I'm doing than those Access Hollywood people, you know,
sure.
Like, not like saying, like, oh, it's a pay cut, but it's just even the impact they have with the ability of people they reach. It's just like kind of limited. So it's like that weird point where I'm like, don't want to go there yet, but I also want to go up here. So hopefully with the show I have coming out later this year, Spill Sash, you guys will see a lot more elevated content like that.
Yeah, we're excited about that. She's great.
I know. She's great. My parents hung out with Christy the other night. We like went out and had some drinks and they've been living it up. So let's go ahead and finish the podcast by just talking about what are we doing this trip. So Friday, I picked you guys up.
Yeah.
We got, what did we get for lunch?
We went to the Grove.
Yeah, because my mom loves this place, the Grove.
Yes, and we never even look at what the name is, but
I don't know. We go there every time.
We got poke bowls and lobster rolls, and they were fantastic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then we came home. I think we relaxed for a bit, right? And then we went out?
Yes.
Oh, wait, we kind of started early that night. Yeah.
Christy came over. We did start early. We didn't really relax. She came over, and we went... where did we go?
Well, Thomas came over and then we went out, right?
Yes.
We went to High Tops. Yeah, High Tops. And then you were kind of tired, so I took you back.
Yes.
And then me and Dad were partying.
We stayed out a little bit.
The next day, the drag queens were like, oh, there's Sloan's dad. Like, and then we went to drag brunch yesterday at the Abbey. We were there for like 3 hours.
That was fun.
That was cool. Yeah. Did you, so you guys enjoy the drag queens?
Yeah,
I love it.
You don't think it's like weird or whatever? You're just like, what is this?
Oh no, it's entertaining. No. I mean, these they are so fit and so talented. It's just, it's fun. It's a fun experience.
Yeah, I agree. It's cool that we have it everywhere here. It's just like that one place in the country where you just have every bar's got a drag queen performing.
Yeah, so we did that yesterday, and then we went to the fashion show.
Oh yeah, we went to that fashion show.
Yeah.
Last night,
that
and
was
then
super cool.
Yeah, that was cool. So it was for Michael No, and he did an event at a club called Heart. And my mom likes the Bravo of it all, like the Vanderpumps, Housewives. So Erica Jane was there. And she was speaking on stage. Tom Sandoval was there. Mom got a picture with him.
Yeah. He's so tall.
I really thought he was so much smaller, like seeing him on TV, but he was quite large.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we're going to go to Palm Springs tomorrow. They've never been to Palm Springs before. So I thought that would be cool.
Yeah, we're excited for that.
Yeah. And it's going to be hot and there's going to be casinos because they like to gamble.
That's right.
Tell them about your recent win.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I hit a spin on a slot machine. I was betting $1 and next thing I know, I kept watching the screen and it was, you know, $500, $600. Anyhow, it went to, I won a grand prize of like $11,000.
Yeah, which
off
is crazy.
Off a dollar bet. So it was kind of crazy. Yeah. It's exciting. It's fun for us to goof around.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, what do you do when you're older? You find your little devices and
go to
the casino. Yeah, go to a casino and have a drink. Like, that's how you relax. That's what you do. So we're going to do something in Palm Springs because I believe they have casinos, kind of a few different ones there.
Yeah.
So we're going to Palm Springs. We've got a few dinners and then we're going to go to the outlets and lay at the pool, of course. And we hopefully get a tan. And then on Thursday, we'll get home. You guys are going to get facials, which you're excited about. My mom got one last time. She was like, your dad needs to get one too. So they're going to get facials. And then we're going to go to dinner at Craig's that day, which is like a big LA hotspot. I saw like Heather DeBro there last time looking frightening, talking to the host. Wow, she didn't look like she was mean. She's just
she wasn't happy. Oh, I got you.
No, she didn't look even unhappy. I think that's just her face.
Oh, really?
Just a little Bethany Frankel, but like even scarier, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I would not want her to yell at me.
She's got a look.
Bethany, she's interesting on TikTok. I want to interview her one day, though.
Yeah, cool. I'll follow her.
Then we have a comedy show that night at the Comedy Store, and then you guys go home.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So you excited for the rest of your trip?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This has been fantastic and looking forward to it.
Yeah. So much of a LA experience. Now you even got a podcast. So
yeah, absolutely. Right.
Because they're pretty much influencers now.
There we go.
One thing I always enjoyed growing up were the holidays, because you guys always went all out, which was like very special. I feel like nowadays every holiday I like to, you know, Halloween dress up, like Christmas, all the vibes. So do you have any like favorite memories growing up with like the holidays? And even though I was trying to ruin them with my camcorder.
Christmas was the best, honestly, because to this day, Mom doesn't put anything out under the tree until Christmas Eve.
Until Santa comes.
Yeah, until Santa comes. And you guys embraced that and totally loved it. Even as adults, that's what you love. And not only do I have you guys at the house now, like I have my future son-in-law, and I'll have my son's girlfriend and my daughter's high school best friend, who are now a part of our life, and they want to be there on Christmas Eve and wake up Christmas morning. And
now they have to wear the matching outfits.
Yes, I have to buy a lot of pajamas every year. But yeah, you guys have always loved that. And you believed in just the spirit of Christmas, I think, because of that. And the only thing that really changed is that you've helped me carry all the gifts up under the tree on Christmas Eve. But that it's so much fun.
Well, you probably purchase most of them Griff nowadays.
It's so much fun for you guys to come downstairs in the morning and all the gifts be there in your stockings. Yeah. And your dad and I have always loved that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like even in college, like having friends that didn't really have like the best family life, and then like being able to bring them home and you already have like an Easter basket made up for them. Yeah. And like, I just like, you know, life is so boring. So if we have like a holiday celebrate, like, let's just do it. Like have the fun of it. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on my show. Anything last you want to say before we wrap up?
No, just so proud of you and love you so much. And, continued success, and
we know you. We are very proud parents.
Absolutely.
You guys will go down as my neediest guest. Just kidding. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching this episode. I hope you enjoyed. Leave some comments below and be nice. And I'll see you guys in next week's episode. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.